He read it again and shook his head in sheer wonder. Suddenly, he realized what the answer to the problem was, and it was this, that something very weird was happening. And if something very weird was happening, he thought, he wanted it to be happening to him. He stashed the guide back in his satchel and hurried out onto the street again. Walking north again, he passed a steel-grey limousine parked by the curbside, and from a nearby doorway he heard a soft voice saying, "It's okay, honey. It's really okay. You've got to learn to feel good about it. Look at the way the whole economy is structured." Ford grinned, detoured round the next block, which was now in flames, found a police helicopter, which was standing unattended in the street, broke into it, strapped himself in, crossed his fingers, and sent it hurtling inexpertly into the sky. He weaved terrifyingly up through the canyoned walls of the city, and, once clear of them, hurtled through the black and red pall of smoke which hung permanently above it. 10 minutes later, with all the copter sirens blazing and its rapid-fire cannon blasting at random into the clouds, Ford Prefect brought it careering down among the gantries and landing lights at Handold Spaceport, where it settled like a gigantic, startled and very noisy gnat. Since he hadn't damaged it too much, he was able to trade it in for a first-class ticket on the next ship leaving the system, and settled into one of its huge, voluptuous, body-hugging seats. "This is going to be fun," he thought to himself, as the ship blinked silently across the insane distances of deep space, and the cabin service got into its full, extravagant swing. "Yes, please," he said to the cabin attendants, whenever they glided up to offer him anything at all. He smiled with a curious kind of manic joy as he flipped again through the mysteriously reinstated entry on the planet Earth. He had a major piece of unfinished business that he would now be able to attend to, and was terribly pleased that life had suddenly furnished him with a serious goal to achieve. It suddenly occurred to him to wonder where Arthur Dent was, and if he knew. Arthur Dent was 1,437 light-years away in a Saab, and anxious. Behind him in the back seat was a girl who had made him crack his head on the door as he climbed in. He didn't know if it was just because she was the first female of his own species that he'd laid eyes on in years, or what it was, but he felt stupefied with... "This is absurd," he told himself. "Calm down," he told himself. "You are not," he continued to himself in the firmest internal voice he could muster, "in a fit and rational state. You have just hitchhiked over 100,000 light-years across the galaxy. You are very tired, a little confused, and extremely vulnerable. Relax, don't panic, concentrate on breathing deeply." He twisted round in his seat. "Are you sure she's all right?" he said again. Beyond the fact that she was, to him, heart-thumpingly beautiful, he could make out very little, how tall she was, how old she was, the exact shading of her hair, nor could he ask her anything about herself, because, sadly, she was completely unconscious. "She's just drugged," said her brother, shrugging, not moving his eye from the road ahead. "And that's all right, is it?" said Arthur in alarm. "No, it suits me," he said. "Ah," said Arthur. He added after a moment's thought. The conversation so far had been going astoundingly badly. After an initial flurry of opening hellos, he and Russell, the wonderful girl's brother's name was Russell, a name which to Arthur's mind always suggested burly men with blonde moustaches and blow-dried hair, who would, at the slightest provocation, start wearing velvet tuxedos and frilly shirt fronts, and would then have to be forcibly restrained from commentating on snooker matches, had quickly discovered that they didn't like each other. Russell was a burly man. He had a blonde moustache. His hair was fine and blow-dried. To be fair to him, though Arthur didn't see any necessity for this beyond the sheer mental exercise of it, he, Arthur, was looking pretty grim himself. A man can't cross 100,000 light-years, mostly in other people's baggage compartments, without beginning to fray a little, and Arthur had frayed a lot. "She's not a junkie," said Russell suddenly, as if he clearly thought that someone else in the car might be. "She's under sedation." "But that's terrible," said Arthur, twisting round to look at her again. She seemed to stir slightly, and her head slipped sideways on her shoulder. Her dark hair fell across her face, obscuring it.